We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hello, and welcome back to This Is Not a Drill. Skirt, skirt! A brand new podcast by me, Shayna Anwick, and her...
Georgia Farquharson.
I always let you say it because I will still mispronounce it every single time.
It's fine. How are you?
Other than me sitting in another closet recording this with you, this is like closet number three, I think. I am so good. I'm so good. I'm so happy. We just had a brilliant Easter weekend with my family that flew in. I'm up with my mom and dad's working on some super fun projects coming up. And life is good, except for the pollen. Life is good except for the pollen. Are you having pollen problems in the UK right now?
We're not having pollen problems in the UK right now. But I feel like, yeah, it gets earlier and earlier every year, doesn't it? Are you taking tablets for it?
I'm not, but I might have to because I'm not even joking you. I go outside and my mom's like, oh, your makeup looks a bit yellowy today. I'm like, mother, it's the pollen sticking to my foundation. Let me live.
No. Oh, wow. That sounds aggressive.
It's so bad. It is so bad. But that's just the South and the blooming flowers. But I'm not complaining because I'm so here for summer and I know you are too.
The blue sky has just been doing something to me this last couple of days. Spring is springing and I love it. Tell the listeners where your mum lives in relation to where you live. Where do your parents live?
So I live in the city of Atlanta, like in a little neighborhood, which is super cute. And my parents live like almost 2 hours outside the city. So coming here is a little bit of a trek, but I do come here often to work all of my magic on their house. And they're so thankful. Like, thank gosh my daughter can build something because I am not spending money on a contractor. And then my mom bribes me into doing projects on the house. And she's like, hey, Shayna, come up and work on this and work on that. And I'll cook you dinner. And I'm like, sold. Make me some steak and eggs.
Yeah, she's so handy to have around, aren't you? Love it.
Yes, we're loving it.
I feel
so, Sorry.
I was going to say, I feel like 2 hours is quite a lot. But I guess in relation to when you lived in the UK, not so much.
Not so much. 2 hour drive over a 9.5 hour flight. Sign me up.
You'll take it. So you have been there for Easter. Tell us a little bit more about your week and through the keyhole, please, Shayna.
So this week through the keyhole, I kind of talked about it last episode, but this past week I have found out some really life-changing news. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to spill the beans, like I said, but I have been really focusing on that news and adjusting my life and figuring out what I need to do for this to go smoothly. And oh my gosh, I've just been getting really pumped up about that and trying to cram in everything, all my work projects, all these podcast episodes, everything. So when the date comes, I will be ready to go and it will be stress-free for this big life change.
You are such a tease, honestly. People are going to be like, just tell us. It's coming.
Just call me. You know what? I hated being calling a tease. I mean, I never really was called a tease, but I like being called a tease now.
Yeah, I love it. So you've had a really nice family-oriented weekend.
I did. I really did. And y'all, family is everything. Like the minute you're surrounded by your family, your highest self is elevated and it's just so good. Like I found myself smiling all weekend and I was like, wow, these are the moments that we live for. Without getting too deep, it really is. I know 100%. You feel the same, Georgia.
100%. I have a question about Easter in the US versus the UK because Easter eggs are a huge thing here, like chocolate eggs. But I feel like in the US, you don't really have chocolate Easter eggs. Is that true?
We do. I think we have... Well, okay. From my understanding, I think the eggs are heavily like the ones that you hide in the woods and hide things in, but we eat the bunnies.
Ah, okay. So in England, we have chocolate Easter eggs. So I have eaten like so many big ass chocolate eggs this weekend. I will take some pictures and we can share it on the Instagram, because I'm taking some eggs back to Joseph because we realized that not many people have Easter eggs in the US. And also your chocolate sucks.
Okay, we need to talk about that, because saying that USA chocolate sucks is a fact. You guys, it is.
Okay, I'm glad that you agree. I thought you were about to fight me then. I was like ready to fight.
No, I'm fighting the rest of the world that thinks American chocolate is good. It sucks.com. I feel like it's so salty or it's so sweet. It just does not taste good. But Georgia, when you come back, you better bring some dang Cadbury's chocolate back with you before I go full-blown panic attack.
Oh my gosh. Galaxy, Lindt. Everything is just delicious. Yeah, Hershey's chocolate tastes like actual vomit. We went away for the weekend with some friends and we were like, oh, let's make s'mores, because it's like the first time I've ever made s'mores before. And the chocolate just ruined
it. What?
Yeah, babe, we don't have s'mores in the UK.
Hold on. Are s'mores only an American thing?
Yeah. With a graham cracker.
Oh my gosh. The more I think about it, when I lived in the UK, I never, ever, ever made s'mores.
No. That's 100% a US thing. So we went on it wasn't a camp trip. We were staying in a cabin in the woods and I could not wait. We were so excited. We got our graham crackers and our marshmallows and I was ready to go. And then the Hershey's chocolate just tasted so disgusting that it ruined the whole thing for me. So then when we did it the next time, I bought Cadbury's chocolate back from the UK. Honestly, if you haven't tried, and to be fair, Cadbury's is available in the US, but I'm going to throw it out there. It doesn't taste as good.
I think there's different ingredients in it. 100%. I think you're right.
Yeah. So that's sad for me, for the US, that you guys don't eat as much chocky and good chocolate over the Easter weekend. But I mean, I'll bring some back for you, babes.
While we're on this topic, you know, I thought it'd be kind of funny. Let's go through like five or six things food-wise in the UK that just suck here in the USA, or vice versa. Or what's one thing, actually, here we go. What is one thing that the US does not have that you really, really wish it did?
Okay, this is a random one, and I'm probably going to have to share a picture on Instagram so people can relate. Squash. Like blackcurrant squash.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Squash, aka diluted juice?
Yeah, like a cordial. And so you guys don't do it. And I can't understand why. And there's only one supermarket in the whole of Texas that does it, called HEB or Heb. I think it's HEB. I called it Heb before and everyone was like, no.
And I've never heard of that.
They sell Robinsons for like $12 a bottle. It costs honestly about £2 here. And so whenever friends come out to stay, I'm like, you can't come unless you bring me squash. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it. And it just baffles me that you guys don't do it. I feel like it would be a big hit.
So squash, okay, so my fellow Americans, that's not like the president.
Yeah, tell them.
Hello,
tell
my
them.
Fellow Americans. Squash / aka diluted juice is basically a flavored concentrate. So what you would do is, like in the UK, you would just go get a plain glass of water and you would pour as much of this squash, aka diluted juice, that you want into it to make juice. So you can have it really sweet, really heavy, or just put like a tablespoon in and it just kind of gives it like some flavored water. And I don't really think we sell like juices in the UK.
In the US? No, you don't. Do you mean in the US or the UK?
No, I meant like in the UK, we don't really sell like big jugs of like pure juice. They only have like diluted juice that you can add into your water.
They do. They do sell like orange juice and apple juice and stuff. But I don't like that shit. I want the sugar. I want my squash.
We want my squash.
I want my squash. Yeah. So there's a lady, a lovely lady at my gym called Erin. Hello, Erin, if you're listening, who is my dealer. She's my squash dealer. So I just pay her like.
She's your squash dealer?
It's the most illegal thing I do is buying squash. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Girl, she's my dealer. Handcuffs on right
Cuff
now.
Cuff me now. This just got me thinking, what do we do in the UK that you miss in the US? Was there anything that we did really well other than chocolate, obviously?
Oh, other than chocolate. I mean, there's a lot of things. You know what's one thing I really do miss? I miss how every Sunday is like Oh, a Sunday roast.
Yes.
I really miss a Sunday roast. And okay, tell them what a Sunday roast is.
It's difficult because when I've tried to explain this to some Americans, they feel like they have a similar thing in a pot roast. But would you say that it's different?
Oh my gosh, it's so different. So okay. Different.
So it's a bit of an institution in England, like a Sunday thing is to have like a family roast with your family. So you'll choose a meat. So you either have like a whole roast chicken or a lamb. So we had lamb for our Easter lunch yesterday, or beef or pork. So that'll be like carved up. And then you have stuffing balls, which are different to you guys. You have corn stuffing, which is different. Our stuffing, I don't know even know how to explain it, but they're delicious. We'll have sausages, roast potatoes, parsnips, carrots, Brussels sprouts, swede.
It's basically like a Sunday, the last Sunday dinner. Yes, the gravy. Mm.
Yeah.
It's like having a full-on Thanksgiving dinner
every
Sunday with your friends and mm-hmm. your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit is so good.
So good.
So yeah, so good.
Hey, what did you have for Easter lunch then? Let's get back to Through the Keyhole. So what is traditional for an Easter lunch for you if you don't have a roast?
I guess, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter probably like our big American, aka roast days, mm-hmm. or like days that you kind of have like a big Thanksgiving meal. We had some honey baked ham and corn. Oh, so tasty.
Cornbread. Did you have cornbread?
We had cornbread.
That is one thing that we don't have in the UK that is 10 out of 10 in America. I'm here for it.
Cornbread.
Delicious.
Hot with melted butter. And you shove that shit in your mouth.
Oh my goodness. That sounds so good.
I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, run out of this closet and get some cornbread while we record this.
Yeah, that shit's good. What else do I like? Oh, one thing back to the food, and then we'll get back to Through the Keyhole, because I know everyone's desperate to hear about Shayna's week. Although she's already told us that she's not going to tell us, so you're not going to get any more info. Biscuits and gravy is a Texan thing. I don't know if you'll even know what that is, Shayna.
I think biscuits and gravy is a Southern American staple.
It is disgusting.
Oh my God, you think it's gross?
Yeah. You basically have scones. So biscuits, the equivalent of biscuits in the... Okay, this is confusing. So an American biscuit is the equivalent of a UK scone, like what we'd have at afternoon tea, a scone, like the Queen would have with jam and cream. R.I.P. the Queen.
Oh,
I know. Miss her. And they just then pour, like, it's not gravy. It's like a cheese sauce. It's absolutely rancid.
It's just soggy.
It's so soggy. It's unnecessarily soggy. And when we arrived, obviously Joseph's like, we need to try biscuits and gravy because it's so Southern. I'm like, yeah, on your own, babe, because it's not a bit of me. And also a biscuit in the UK, what would you call a biscuit? Like, you know, a UK biscuit, like you would dunk in a tea.
That's a cookie.
No.
It's a cookie.
A cookie has chocolate chips in it.
But there's different kinds of cookies. So that technically falls under the cookie category.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, I think I'm right. I beg to differ.
We will agree to disagree on that, I think. Oh, there's so much we can cover about the UK versus US. I'm so excited to explore that further. I remember when you used to post your videos about it and they used to go so wild because everyone loved it.
Let's dedicate a full episode and let's curate an entire list of all the differences and let's talk about them.
Absolutely. Okay,
let's do that.
So let me tell you about my week, Shayna. So
spill the baked beans.
So again, it's been Easter. So we had a lovely Easter lunch yesterday with family, which was great. We had roast lambs. We had a good old roast. And my little niece was with us, who is just the light of my life. She's 3 and a half now. So she's got to the point where she is funny. Like, not that I don't think my sister's funny, but I don't know where she gets it.
You're like, how did my not funny sister make a funny person?
Yeah, like she's honestly so funny. Like her one-liners are just brilliant. So she's been on brilliant form. So that's been great, eating too much chocolate. And yeah, tomorrow is my granddad's funeral. So we've just kind of been getting ready for that. And then I head straight back to Dallas on Wednesday because we've got friends coming to stay on Saturday for 10 days. So my best friend and her fiance are coming to stay and I cannot wait to show them around Dallas. We just love having people come and stay because for people to see the way that we live and, you know, just like, oh, this is the gym I go to and this is my office that I say I go to. And so they can actually see that's the supermarket that I go to. Yeah, I literally cannot wait. So they're coming out. So it's kind of been all systems go, getting ready for that. And then, are you still there? Am I just
I'm still here. I'm just trying to process how you are so busy in life 24/7 and do all these crazy traveling things and you're still living.
Yeah. Well, there's more coming. So,
oh gosh.
Yeah. I don't even know if I think I have told you this. If I haven't, you're going to fall off your chair. So it's officially April. So my 30th birthday is in 22 days.
Wild. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, cowgirl. So I go to Dallas on Wednesday and then my friends come on Saturday and they're there for 10 days. Then I fly back 2 weeks on Wednesday. So I'm only there for 2 weeks. Then I come back and then we fly to the Maldives.
Can I just tell you how I just want to like punch you through the phone because I'm so jealous right now that you're going to the Maldives and I'm here in a closet.
Cannot wait. Like when I tell you, I am going to switch off so hard. You're not going to be able to get hold of me. Like, love you. Love you like a sister. But bye. Bye. But
who's going to
write your life?
Me?
No
who's
one.
Run my life? Gosh, you can't leave me like this.
I know.
All right, guys. So the 2 weeks that George is away in the Maldives, I will be MIA as well because I will be having full-blown panic attacks underneath covers hiding because I don't know how to control anything without Georgia. So see ya. Never.
Why don't you just join me? Why don't you come in my suitcase?
Is this an invite? Because hard yes.
I honestly can't wait. So I'm going to wake up on my actual 30th birthday in the Maldives. So I've been
way to make everybody jealous.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. I am sorry. I do work hard. So this is like my full switch off. And I really am going to, obviously I run my own business. So I have prepped the girls hard that I am uncontactable unless the world is actually burning. And I'm so excited. And see, I've just been getting ready, like trying to get holiday clothes and stuff sorted, which is a whole different thing. I'm one of those people. I don't know about you. I don't know how people look cool on holiday.
Girl,
I'm just hot. I'm so hot.
It's the same. But okay, here's one thing I've realized. Most of like the cute holiday pictures that we see are like these fashion influencers that are always decked head to toe and just look so glam on a holiday. But the majority of people on vacation, like when we go to literally relax, we don't give a shit what we look like. We're just there just to chill and be hot and drink a pina colada and be in the sun and decompress. Like we're not there for the content. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So we see all these images of like, oh my God, I should look like this and look like that. But they're there for work and they're there to like flex and show their outfits and curate their Instagram. But it's like, no, I'm here to go down, like ride a banana boat with a helmet on through the Maldives, get stung by a stingray and a jellyfish, catch like this crazy allergic reaction, have to go to the ER and pay for travel insurance and call it a fun trip.
I agree. But yeah, sometimes I just see people and I'm like, oh man, I don't look that cool. But anyway, that will be me in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 weeks, I'll be in the Maldives. I cannot.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Wait. Shayna.
Yes.
Last week, you left everyone on a big cliffhanger. I mean, you've left cliffhangers since the beginning, but you left a cliffhanger about why you left America to move to the UK. So let's drill down into it. Tell us the story from the beginning.
What a change in topics.
Sorry.
Wow. How does one adjust to that? Okay. I feel like the best way to do this will be for you to guide me and ask me questions because my brain and my life has been so flipping nuts that I kind of need some directional guidance of how to start this. So you being the ex-celebrity journalist, ask away.
Okay. So when did you originally move to the UK?
For any of you that know or don't know, I lived in the UK for 9 years. Almost 9 years. And I moved there in 2014, I think.
How old were you?
Was it 2014? I was 23. I was 23 years old.
That's young.
What the heck? Yeah, I was 23 years old. And I just graduated college and I had the opportunity to go to Hong Kong and do a work study program with MSNBC and CNN and the South China Morning Post. It was a like journalism like college program.
Did you study journalism? Major.
I did. Yeah. How funny is that, right?
Oh my gosh, we are actual soul sisters. I love it. Sorry,
I
continue.
Did. I studied journalism, and here you are, Georgia. You actually became a journalist, and I didn't. So that's fun. So yeah, I went to Hong Kong, and I was there for, I think, a little over a month exactly. I can't, like, honestly, I really can't remember exactly everything. This is just, like, as best as I can remember. And it was a great work-study program. We had a great time. And my roommate and I, we all went out one night to this area called LKF or LFK, mm-hmm. Lang Fung Kwai, I think it was called. It's, like, the bar restaurant center where all, like, the expats and cool people and everybody goes to in Hong Kong. And we went there, and I think it was the second to last night of our trip, and I met this guy and ended up being somebody from the UK. And we got to talking, got to chatting, and the night went on, and I was like, listen, we have our flight the next day, and I think, like, this person was leaving to go back to the UK the next day as well. So I said at the time, like, I didn't have any social media. I think I had Snapchat. So I was like, here's my Snapchat. Yeah, here's my Snapchat. When you get back to the UK, Snapchat me. And this guy was like, oh, I have no social media, but I'll give you my friend Snapchat. And I was like, okay, that's sketch. Whatever. Give me your friend Snapchat. We'll stay in touch. And he did. And then we parted ways and was like, okay, we'll stay in touch. Like, so great to meet you. Whatever. So I flew back to the U.S. So I was at work, and I remember getting a text like, hey, what are you doing? I'm at the Atlanta airport. Can you come pick me up?
What the fuck?
So I left work. I was bartending. I was like, I left work. I called my roommate, and I was like, okay. Here's a situation. I met some random person in Hong Kong. We hit it off so great. And now they just flew into Atlanta 2 weeks after I met them, totally unannounced. And they're from the UK. And I kind of forget what they look like. So you have to remember, like, the way that us girls stalk people on the internet now, like, that stalkage wasn't a thing then. It was just based off memory. So I told my roommate and I was like, okay, here's the plan. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a code word, and the code word was eagle. And when I don't know why I came up with eagle, but we did. I think I saw a bird one day and I was like, okay, eagle.
That'll do.
So eagle was the word. And whenever I said it, that meant like I felt uncomfortable, like I need you to step in, or like it just wasn't going to go well. It was eagle. So I go to the airport. I pick up this guy and he stayed in Atlanta for a week. And not once did I ever say eagle. And then he was like, hey, why don't you come to the UK for like 6 months and come traveling and come explore the UK and I'll show you around and we can go through Europe. And he's like, you just graduated college. Like, now's like the perfect time. And I thought to myself, like, yeah, like, I don't have any heavy commitments other than, you know, getting my dream journalism job that I wanted, that I went 5 freaking years to college for and paid all this money. But yeah, let's just disregard that and go travel. Like, you know, my parents thought I was nuts.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I was totally nuts. So I really thought about it. I spoke to mom and dad about it. I was like, listen, if I don't give this a go now and go travel and go like explore and see new things at this age,
you'd regret it.
It's gonna be, yeah, I'm gonna regret it and it's gonna be too late and life's too short and too fun. So let's do it. And I did it. And I did it. I sold my car. I got rid of my house. I had a dog. I gave my parents my old dog.
I didn't know that part. Do they still have that dog?
No, he passed away last year.
Oh,
I know.
Sorry.
I know. He was my buddy. His name was Coda Bear. Such a good dog. And I said, listen, y'all take really good care of him. I'm just going to be gone for 6 months. I'm going to travel, explore, and like, you know, just do and see new things that would really, I thought at that point, would like really give me a better understanding of
the world,
what I wanted to do with my life in terms of work-wise and career and everything. So I booked a one-way ticket.
Oh my goodness. This is like a film.
It was wild. But here's the crazy part, right? I booked a one-way ticket from Atlanta to London Heathrow. I get there and I get stopped in customs. And I don't know if you've been stopped in customs before, have
it's
you?
It's terrifying. They're so scary.
It is so scary. Mm-hmm. So I got stopped in customs and they were like, hi, you're American. Like, what are you here for? And I was like, hey, I'm here to like see this guy and I am gonna fly back in 6 months' time. And they were like, okay, so where's your return flight ticket? Mm. And I was like, well, I didn't get one because I wasn't sure the exact date I wanted to fly back yet. And they were like, so you're telling me that you booked a one-way ticket for this guy that you barely even know. He's flying you out here. You're traveling with him for 6 months, and then you're gonna decide what day you want to fly back to the U.S. They were like, red flag. And not here I was, no chance. I was shitting myself, so scared, getting interrogated. Oh, so they were like, no chance. We're taking you to the whatever they call it, like the airport jail.
Oh my God.
So they take me to the AKA airport jail. They take my phone from me, all of my suitcases, all of my belongings, and they make me sit in this room. And I was the only one in that room that spoke English. And I was trying to communicate to other people there. And I was like, what? Because like when they take you there, they really don't tell you what's going on. You are in, I call it like the limbo room. You're stuck in limbo waiting for one of these workers to come in and tell you like what's happening, what's going on.
Where was your connecting flight to?
It was to from London to Newcastle up north in the UK.
Oh,
so I was stuck in Heathrow. Waiting for 16 hours, what the heck was going on?
That is disgusting. No one wants to be stuck in Heathrow for 16 hours.
Oh my God. And imagine like in a room where nobody could speak the same language as you and you were getting told from the workers like the most generic basis things like once every few hours. I was like, what's happening? Am I okay? Am I getting deported? They needed to find out how much money I had in my bank account to make sure that I could pay my way and pay for my travels if I was here in the UK to travel for the 6 months.
Wow.
And it was so scary, Georgia. It was so scary. So 16 hours go by and somebody finally comes in and is like, here's your phone. We verified all your information. We are sorry. What you said was true, but you have to know that we are just doing our job. And I understood that. But my God, was that squeaky bum
time
for
me. What a start. Yeah, not the best landing into London for you.
It was not the best introduction. And it was my first, like, you know, time in London in the UK. And that was my first, like, hand experience. And I was like, God, this place sucks.
I'm so sorry that they did that to you.
Yeah, anybody that works at London Heathrow, I still resent you. I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. I don't.
Okay, so catch us up. So then what happened? Because you get married at some point. When does the marriage happen?
So I finally made my connecting flight to the UK, or excuse me, to Newcastle. And I get there and 6 months go by and we had the best time. You know,
travel?
We traveled, we saw new cities, we did new things and it was great. And we made the decision. I was like, you're great. I'm great. I already know I'm great. You already know you're great. We're great together. I was like, let's get married. So once we decided that, I flew back to the USA. And I think I was there for 3 months waiting to see if my visa would get approved.
So how old were you when you got married?
So I was 24 when I got married.
Wow.
24. And yeah, that's what I did. Went to the courthouse, signed paperwork, and was like, okay, that was easy. Moving on. It was just like, that was it. Just a courthouse signing. I ended up living in the UK for, I think, 8 or 9 years, like I said. And I moved, oh my gosh, I think I moved 16 or 17 times within those 8 or 9 years.
Wow, that's like a tough way to live.
It was very tough. It was exciting to see all these cool places and, you know, live in different areas. But when you're not from that country, when you're, you know, family is in a different country, when your friends are in a different country, and you're picking up and moving and moving and moving and moving, it's just, you just never, ever, ever settle. And you're always starting over from zero every single time, trying to find a new job, trying to meet new friends, trying to find your community, how you fit in. Like, it is draining.
Mm-hmm.
It is draining. And my partner at the time was always at work and working so hard. And I was always at home, you know, just trying to find a job or trying to find something to make the time pass. Or it was hard. And in the first 5 years, I didn't even drive.
Wow. That's
so isolating. And I was so stuck at home because it was either just be at home or walk a few miles to the closest train station to go somewhere. I was looking for jobs that I could like build myself or careers I could do myself. And at one point in time, I started my own clothing line because I was like, okay, I can do this from home. I don't have to take trains everywhere. I can get everything shipped to the house. And that clothing line was called The Neutral Piece. And it was all neutral colored clothing for women, which I loved. Mm-hmm. It was called The Neutral Piece. And every week I would launch different pieces of, you know, jackets, pants, whatever. And I loved it. And it kept me busy. I loved it. And it was a job that I could pack up in boxes and take with me every 6 months or year, whatever that was, to the next house. So that kept me busy for a bit. And then I moved back up north and I stopped my clothing line and I worked for Land Rover and Jaguar, and I did like a handover coordinating job. And that was my first big, I guess you could say, corporate job in the UK. And I loved it. I loved it.
You have lived a lot of lives, my friend. You really have. I feel like there's so much more that we can go into on this, but I feel like that's probably a good place to pause for now, because there's lots more we need to fill in. The after, you know, the second part of that story, shall we say. Would you agree?
There certainly is. That's how I ended up there.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. I know that that's like an interesting time in your life, but it leads us really nicely actually into our sofa session segment, because this week's dilemma is career related and kind of similar to what we were just saying. So let's get into it. The question for this week says, hi ladies, I'm at a bit of a life crossroads and need some outsider's advice. I've been working my way up the corporate ladder for the last 8 years, and I'm a few months away from a big promotion that will set me up for the next couple of years. Problem is, I feel like I've been so focused on getting to this point that I've lost all other aspects of myself. I'm single, barely have a social life, and have totally neglected myself for the past few years, throwing everything I can into work. My mum got diagnosed with cancer last year, and it was a bit of a wake-up call that life is really short and perhaps I shouldn't be so focused on work. A friend of mine is taking a sabbatical at the end of the year and has asked if I'd be interested in going. 6 months travelling around Australia, Thailand and Bali, and honestly, I'm really considering it. Work have said they'd let me go, but I guess I'm just second-guessing it because I'm worried that 6 months out of the game will put me behind everyone else. What would you do?
Ha!
Ha, ha, ha. You want to go first?
I was going to say, I have my thoughts on it, but I was going to ask you to go first.
Okay. So 100% take it. 100%.
Agreed.
life, and again, we will promise to do a whole episode on this because both of us can touch on this, but life really is so short. And the worst thing that you can do is throw everything into your career or into a relationship and just lose every other aspect of yourself. The world is so big and there is so much to see. And, you know, Shayna, just you taking that punt on moving to the UK. Okay, so it didn't end up, you know, the way that you expected and you're now back in the US. But some would argue back in exactly the spot that you needed to be in. And you still had a great time. You explored, you traveled, you saw the world. And I bet that you don't regret any of that because it's led you to the place that you are. And I think there's not many workplaces that would be so accepting of this person taking a sabbatical. So I would jump at the chance. And actually as well, just quickly to add on, I think the life experience that you'll come back with, if you do decide to come back, because who knows what will happen, will actually make you so much better at your job. Would you agree, Shayna? Because I feel like once you've seen the world and you've seen other cultures and you've like lived different lives, you come back so much more well-rounded as a person.
You
nailed it. Did I hit the nail on the head?
Yeah, I'm sitting here like, you nailed it. It's so true. And I mean, Georgia, you moved to the US and I moved to the UK and back here. And like you said, you don't realize of how much of a bubble you really are in when you are staying and when you are complacent and when you are in this environment that you've always been in. Until you take a leap to go somewhere else and put yourself in somebody else's situation and live like a local and see new cultures and new experiences, you then come back to your, AKA your old bubble, with a totally new meaning of life. And no matter how many, Animal Planet or Discovery Channel, Outer World or different cultured shows you watch, yeah, you might see it on television or in the movies, but until you're actually submerged and living in a different environment like that, you just everything starts to make sense to you that life really is so short. Everybody else is living in different ways. They all have different things that are acceptable or different. And if you can really give yourself that chance to experience that firsthand with a job like this, 100% do it.
Yeah. Why would you not
do it? When you are dead, when you are dead, when I am dead, when everybody's dead, it's so cliche, but nobody's going to remember us for, oh, she was a great worker. Mm-hmm. She was a hard worker at her job. Her email, she was very punctual on time for work. Yeah. Like at the end of the day, we are all a number in this business world of society. And the things that matter the most to us or like they really are life traveling firsthand experiences and memories made on amazing trips like that.
Preach, and you really sister. Need to do it. 100%. Really do it. And can I come with you, please?
Yeah, where's our invite? Okay, new thing. We are not reading any more dilemmas until we get plane tickets attached to these emails so we can come.
Oh, and please follow up as well. Like if you do end up going, I would love to hear the story about you going and send us pictures and make us jealous. And reminder that if you would like our help with anything DIY, home, interior related or otherwise, it can be lifestyle like this one, relationships, friendship advice, whatever it is, please email us at thisisnotadrillpod@gmail.com or DM us over on thisisnotadrillpod on TikTok and Instagram.
You're so good at that.
Thank you. That's my little bit. I like that. Shayna, next week is a big, big, big week.
Wait, what's next week?
You are finally going to address the questions. How are you feeling? I'm sweating.
How am I feeling? Considering that only my family knows and my very closest friends and now the whole world is now going to know. Oh, yeah, no big deal. No big deal. Not shitting or sweating in a closet as we speak, you know, totally cool.
Okay. Well, on that note, make sure you come back next week for what I can only describe as an explosive episode. The tell-all.
Oh my gosh. The tell-all? Okay.
In good old bachelor fashion, you've never seen an episode like this before.
ASMR ever.
We love you guys. Don't forget to rate, review, follow, share with your friends, tell everyone, and don't forget to come back next week to This Is Not a Drill. Peace out. Skrrt, skrrt.
Bye.
Bye.